Wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
Down in the new basement studios by the lake, our first show in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it is. The show normally comes out every 2 weeks. Even sometimes when we're not available every 2 weeks, it comes out every 2 weeks.
We do work hard to do that.
And I mention that because we got some grief from CSI Dan, indirectly, directly expressed, but we got a relayed message that is eagerly anticipating our next episode, but it's not that we, you know.
Yeah, it was when I was told that, and I'm going to put the boot into one of our fans, as I am prompt to do. CSI Dan was like, yo, I'm waiting for the next show. And when that story was related to me, and this is the danger of quoting other people, I immediately took it as, oh, I'm still waiting for the next show, rather than, I'm excited about the next show. So I immediately said, right. When someone said to me, oh, you know, CSI Dan is waiting for the next show, I'm like, well, if he was such a big fan, he would know that you have to wait 2 weeks. Yeah. So I then questioned his fandom. And so that upset me, as you can tell.
Since he's a great fan, I leapt to his defense. I mean, notwithstanding the fact that when you emailed me a little agenda for this, you referred to him as CSI Bob. I had to clarify that part.
Because I was taking a shot at him.
Just CSI Dan, just so you know. Zeph's not, you know, he's getting older, a little bit infirm of mind, and he doesn't necessarily know what's going on.
I was confused. I thought his name was CSI Ben. And I think that's actually quite a
blending the two. But nonetheless, because of his willingness to interact and fandom and all that, he has a mug coming his way.
Yeah, and I want to say, I didn't realize he didn't already have one, and I felt a bit bad.
You're confusing all of our law enforcement fans, and we've doled out some of those to those folks, which is not in advance of trying to get out of speeding tickets or anything like that.
But it'll come in handy. Yeah, I think what happens is because
you don't want to provide that bribe after you get the ticket. So if you distribute mugs amongst all of the people, then you have a better shot.
I think so.
And he's a different county than the rest of the people too. So you'd have to travel slightly further west if you want to get in trouble there.
I can speed in different parts south of the Mason District line. Yeah. Well, I must say, because I'm not in law enforcement, I had all my law enforcement personnel confused because I didn't know who was IED Dave and CSI Dan and investigating Detective Mike. So anyway, CSI Dan, we're every 2 weeks. There's a mug coming to you.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever quoted you, they should apologize to you for misquoting you.
That's right.
So anyway, in the last 2 weeks, a couple of things have been going on.
Yeah.
We are going to get to Oscars shortly, and I know Oscars has been beaten to death, but we do want to get there a little bit. But there was some Star Wars news this week.
Such as it was. I mean, it was not like huge. It was, put it this way, you had sent me a little link to the article, and the article was brief enough that I was like, well, I kind of know everything that this is about, and I deleted it. Like, usually I save these links for
apparently, and I want to say this because I find it quite interesting. Everyone else is at, South by Southwest is going on right now.
Right.
So everyone else is at South by Southwest, because that's what you do to promote your thing. I was online yesterday. There were a lot of different presentations of footage from the new Alien movie that's coming out this summer.
Oh, really?
So, and then they had, like, you know, the stars and the director sitting there.
Yeah, we should talk about that, too. Let's make a mention. Let's come back to the Alien thing.
I'll write it on a bit of paper, Alien thing. But I thought it was interesting that for the Star Wars news, they weren't at South by Southwest, but apparently what happened was this week, about 10 minutes of footage was screened for executives.
I think it was the shareholders.
Right.
It can't have been all the shareholders, obviously all the shareholders of Disney, but I think it is like some at the shareholders meeting or something like that.
So it was interesting that they didn't go to South by Southwest, which is what everyone else does promoting or Comic. When is Comic Con? I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, there's a lot of different ones. Yeah. I'm never quite clear on that.
But anyway, one of the big, what they did was they basically apparently showed a couple of minutes from the start of the movie.
Like the beginning,
And basically they have the first line of the new movie.
Right. And I mean, I guess he'd call this a spoiler. And, a bunch of people speculated what's going to happen. And so the first shots they disclosed.
It's a continuation.
The island, I guess, wasn't an island that Mark Hamill was on, Luke was on?
Yeah, from Rogue One, which was... No, I'm confused now. First three movies suck. First three movies are great. Second three movies suck.
Rogue One is the
new one of the first ones were brilliant. And, you know, something I really, really enjoyed, the other one that's not related to any of these, copyright Atlantic Voice.
This is the sequel to... Oh, my goodness, I forgot.
Force Awakens.
Force Awakens, right. So... And I gather what is basically she says something. He says something to her.
Yeah, he says that she gives him his lifesaver. Sorry. Again, I'm not all the way in. And the big hoo-ha of the article was Luke Skywalker's first line is revealed.
Yeah, what is it like? Who are you?
Who are you is actually what I think. The only thing to me more disappointing than her giving him the lightsaber and him going, who are you?
I think it comes in the opposite order. Like, it's who are you, and she disclosed who she is by giving the lightsaber.
Okay. I feel like...
It was like her past. Like, I'm in the club, like, buddy. You know, okay. Like, I'm part of the Jedi family.
You know what I feel the first line should have been?
The first line?
What? Yeah. But this would have been... it would have spoiled the movie, because I'm now going to tell you what I think is going to happen in the next couple of movies. My claim has always been that all these people are related to each other.
Right.
So in this one, what he should have done was, and this would, to me, this would have been really, really good. She gives him the lightsaber and he goes, I am your father, Luke. You see? And that's like, a spin on what was said to him. Yeah, you see, like that would be clever. And,
rearranging of the words.
And imagine all the super fans would go berserk at how clever that is.
Well, they wouldn't have. Now, the one thing to say is, I think the last movie, they heavily recut after they had done the trailers. So like, who the heck knows? And by the time this thing comes out, there might be a different structure on that.
I will say the other bit of Star Wars news, though, apparently reports. And again, I find it interesting that something was screened for shareholders who are now busy leaking it all out onto the internet, as people are wont to do. Apparently, the footage is like, this could be pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I think the big difference, right, I guess, I don't think they've released that footage. Like, you can't go on the internet and see it, can you? Like,
no,
the Comic-Con things usually end up coming out, like, you know, they release it because it's out there and they know everybody's going to film it, but a shareholder meeting is probably restricting what's going on.
So I tell you what, I'm going to find a way to weave all our thoughts together right now, as our next topic is Oscars.
Well, we were going to, so brief moment on Alien.
No, I'm going to outdo you now. All right. So I like the Oscars. They always have the dead person's montage towards the end, like, you know, farewell or whatever they say. And obviously, Carrie Fisher was in that because she passed away in the last year.
The final thing, didn't she?
Yeah.
I thought it was, I whatever it was, I remember thinking at the time, I was like, okay, I mean, I'm a huge Star Wars fan, but like, there are bigger deals.
I was just about to say, I do feel she's a bit of a one. Okay, she was in When Harry Met Sally.
Right.
She was in The Blues Brothers.
Right.
I'm sure she was in a couple of other things, but I do feel...
And she wrote Postcards. Wasn't it her? Postcards?
Yeah. Which was her? But I don't think she was in it, but she wrote it. Right. So I guess she has more... Put it this way. I think it's she's one of those people who, because of her affiliation with Star Wars, that has unfortunately given the impression to people like me that that's all she's done.
Right.
So, but anyway, she was in it, but left out of it because he died that day. Bill Paxton.
Yeah,
from Aliens.
Yeah, they ran. I don't know if you saw it live.
See how I've just pulled together everything in our segue. You didn't even notice that was such a good segue. Okay,
Saturday Night Live. You know, because everything on NBC is run by Lorne Michaels now. In addition to the regular Saturday Night Lives, they earlier in the evening have like old Saturday Night Lives done. And so Carrie Fisher had passed. They did one from her. They apparently had a Bill Paxton hosted episode. I didn't see it,
but really?
It was on like earlier from 1999 or something like that. I think it was
probably around the time of Titanic.
Probably.
Okay. Yeah.
That would have made sense.
Yeah.
It definitely had like Will Ferrell and stuff.
Now, to be entirely fair, this is awful now. This is an awful thing to say. Based on what I've just said about Carrie Fisher, when Bill Paxton passed away, I was actually quite sad because I do feel he sort of, I don't know, in terms of the film, I think someone made the famous comment, but he's the only person to have been killed by an alien, a Terminator, and a Predator, which was like, you know, but he's been in all these films.
Weird Science,
yeah.
That was just on the other day, which I assume was on probably because, you know, anybody who has this sort of movies goes, well, let's roll out a bunch of Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton's one of those, like, second fiddle guys. No, that's the one way of putting it. But you know what I mean? Like, he's as memorable when he's not been the lead as he was when he was in the lead. And he has been across a whole swath, if that's the right word. James Cameron, he's worked with Arnold, he's worked with Ron Howard, he's, you know, John Hughes, you just said Weird Science. I never saw it, but didn't he have an HBO show about polygamy? What was that one called? So he. So what I mean is the one with I think Chloe Sevigny's in it, and
yeah,
I can't remember what it's called. But what I'm saying is, on his resume, he's done the HBO prestige drama.
Sure.
I'm sitting there thinking, now that's a guy who's had a career, yeah. And he was still quite young, and I was quite sad because to circle back to Aliens, I think anyone who's ever seen the second film, he's one of the greatest sort of characters. In the franchise.
Yeah, what's his line? Like, I can't remember if it's got a curse in it, but he's like...
We're on express... it's Game Over.
Game Over, that's what it is.
We're on an express elevator to hell.
Yeah.
There's... Someone goes, it's really hot down here, and he says, it's a dry heat. yeah, I mean, he's great.
So, the trailer that came out for it... So now, for people... Maybe forgotten. You had the three aliens movies, or the four in the first time.
There were sort of three, and then they waited a couple of years that the fourth came out with Sigourney Weaver and Winona Ryder.
Resurrection or whatever it was.
You had the
original set, which were they were different from each other, but they were of a consistent template. And then you had this Prometheus thing that was like a reboot / prequel / totally remake. Confusing what the heck's going on.
No idea.
So now the next one is like after Prometheus, but again before the other aliens, but it looks much more like the regulars. And this is what people have been saying. It's much more of a horror thing. But my big thing on looking at the trailer was it looks too much like the other ones. Like
I was like, that is my concern.
Prometheus, obviously everybody beat up on Prometheus pretty badly.
Yeah, I did.
But at least it was, hey, I'm going to take this in a new direction, where the next one seems to be like, oh, well, I'm just going to do another one of the Aliens movies.
Well, this is the thing here. From what I understand about the new Alien movie coming out, and to your point about Prometheus promised to be something different, and I won't speak for other people, but I have personally sat here in the basement studio and beat it up for just being like the other ones.
Oh, right.
This other one, this new one coming up, Alien Covenant, I think it's called, when you watch all the trailers and the clips... It just looks like a cheap... To me, it looks like... Cheap is the wrong word.
Yeah.
It looks like a remake of the first one.
Right.
But apparently, there are going to be enough strands in it where I'm hoping that I'm going to sit here and go, I was going to beat it up for being like the other ones, but I learned all kinds of things that I didn't... So I don't know. But it does look...
Yeah, it's just the trailer. It's just...
Yeah.
But the trailer, I'm just like, well, what are you offering that's new here? You know.
And it doesn't look new. And in a strange way, it doesn't look new... And I mean that completely, literally. The original Alien, that movie is now 38 years old. When you watch it on TV, it doesn't... I always think, great, I think science fiction... We've had this conversation about science fiction that it can be tough to pull off because as the film ages, it starts looking tacky.
Yeah.
Space Odyssey still looks great, even though I don't think it's much of a film. The original Alien, which we're talking about, is now 40 years old.
Yeah.
The trailers on the new one look just like that one, and it's not a criticism of the new one. That just tells me how great that first
the only
one
part
just
of the original,
looked.
Part of the original that now looks outdated is certain technology things, and I think they smoke on the you know, like it's these things that you're like, okay, even if you had a, what do they call it for the Star Wars? It's like a used future or something like that is whatever the phrase is, so it looks a little rough around the edges, and definitely Alien, the movie, had that, and then this one appears to have that, but there are parts of it that you're like, okay, well, even if it was like a rougher, you know, it's not this polished...
I do.
Sheen, it's still probably people aren't smoking.
Well, this is an interesting thing, though. I mean, we're wandering all the way over the map now. Ridley Scott isn't directing the new Blade Runner, so it'll be interesting to see. He's not. He's executive or producer.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see how the new director copies. Because Blade Runner, ultimately, I'm going to say this now about the original Blade Runner. I think it's a far better looking film than it actually is. And I'm going to now take this position. I've seen all the different versions of it. I feel it's a film. I've always felt its pacing is horrible. It keeps veering from character to character. Just when you're getting the hang of hanging out with Decker, the sort of, you know, then you're off with the robots. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel Blade Runner is a film... I'm really taking an outlier position that everyone thinks is a lot better than it actually really is. Whereas I think Alien is a lot, the original Alien is a lot better than anyone who just calls it a sci-fi monster movie.
Right.
Did you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. By the way, I don't know if I'm with you on the first one, but yes, I'm
okay.
Generally.
All right, yeah. So it's going to be interesting.
What you're saying.
I'm going to give a shout out, though, to... Everyone always talks about how Ridley Scott's films always look great, but there's a movie... this is my recommendation to everyone else. He did a great movie that wasn't seen a lot. I think it was prior to Alien. Mm-hmm. It was called The Duelists with Harvey Keitel and Keith Carradine from Kung Fu.
Yeah.
And it is set in sort of the 18th century. And it's basically about two fellas who continually duel, and there's a woman, and it's not overboard Three Musketeers, but it kind of has that sort of thing about it. About
it's called The Duelist.
The Duelist, yes. I say duel, you say duel.
Well, I'm pulling up The Duelist, and there's like a whole bunch of 2016 The Duelist.
Oh, really? But it is a great looking.
Older, right?
It's a great looking film. That's all I'm going to say. I think it's actually a good film, but it's a great looking film.
There's some Russian Duelist from 2016. Okay. That's what it's pulling up. Well, I was trying to figure out, like, if we could say, is it on Netflix or is it anything like
that? I have no idea. That's for you fans to figure out in the 2 weeks between shows.
Yeah.
So I guess we're done with the new Alien movie. I'm sure we'll review.
Yeah, we were gonna talk about Oscars, which we can now do. But
did you watch the Oscars this year?
Yeah.
I actually did. I sort of went back into it this year after a couple of years from not watching it. And obviously, everyone knows about the big finish. I'm going to tell a personal story.
Well, just for, you know, they're not
necessarily, everyone knows.
I mean, okay. Maybe not. Right, no, I mean, they're definitely stories of people. Well, so the for people who don't know, like they handed out the wrong thing. They basically announced the wrong movie, and this was Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway who were up there, and so it had this feel like they had made a mistake. They had made a mistake, but they'd been given like
the
wrong card.
Way,
like they got a card from the Best Actress, which had just preceded that, and apparently that card, when you look at it, showed La La Land as
well, because it says what movie someone's in.
Yeah. So this, they were all confused. They said it, and then the big story was the fact that nobody moved. Like they said it. The people in the wings knew it was wrong immediately, and yet it like took 2 minutes before somebody got up there. They were already halfway through their speeches about like congratulations and thanking everybody kind
of
thing. And anyway,
I'm going to come back to that.
So that's they ultimately fixed it. And yeah,
it is interesting story, you say there. Well, actually, I'll tell my own personal story.
Yeah.
I missed all the excitement. Now, I went back into the Oscars this year. I don't know, we'll veer around in it. I think the Oscars to me has become a very overblown show, and I'm like, oh, and it's really just a lot of people you don't know giving out stuff or getting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched it again this year only because, as we alluded to earlier, I love the people that the In Memoriam
mm-hmm.
montage. That actually has got worse over the years, I think. They just put pictures up of people that have passed away, whereas in the past, there used to be more clips.
Yeah.
I always felt...
Well, this goes along with my thing about obituaries, that there's so many more now, and I think it's because, you know, the age... The time of the scope of famous people, the range of famous people has gotten bigger over the years, and so there's just more people who would qualify for us caring that they passed away in the movie industry.
So I do look forward to seeing who has passed away, and I found that clearly I'm not the only one, because that now comes a lot later in the show than it ever used to.
Yeah.
So I kept like, oh, I guess it's going to be in the next segment. So in kind of like a bait and switch way, I ended up watching the Oscars all the way until about 10 to 12 at night, because I just wanted to see. And again, it's not like anyone is going, they're not going to put anyone up there who I'm going to sit there and go, oh, I didn't realize they died. Anyone of note. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So it's weird. It's not like it's a, but I don't know. I feel like when I've seen it, my evening is complete.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, they do the dead person's montage, as I call it, at home. And then the announcer comes on and says, only 3 awards to go. And at the moment, I'm like, in for a penny, in for a pound. But it's now late and I want to go to bed. I saw Beatty and Faye Dunaway come on out. Mm-hmm. And I think the only movie this year that I'd seen was, I think, Manchester by the Sea, out of the... Like, I hadn't seen Moonlight. I'm waiting for it to come out on cable. I hadn't seen La La Land. So I wasn't invested in any which way, mm-hmm. but I just wanted to see it. So they come out. They announced La La Land, and I'm like, okay, I can go to bed. And I immediately turned the TV off. Like, right at that moment, I'm like, done, upstairs.
We'd already seen them just give...
Because I didn't care.
...give an acceptance speech before that.
The next day, I'm in a conversation, and someone goes to me, oh, I see Moonlight won the Oscar. And I'm like, no, it didn't. And I started yelling back, no, it didn't. I sat up until 12 o'clock at night. Don't tell me what I don't know. I sat and watched it. And it was only then that I discovered everything that occurred. And to be entirely fair, I felt really ripped off. Because you know me personally, I would have enjoyed all of that.
Oh, yeah.
I would have enjoyed watching people stumble around and no one knows what to do. And I guess to your point about it, you're right. Because I did go back and watch it on YouTube that, you know, everything was just sort of frozen in time. I'm guessing they don't have any emergency plan B for in the event. And it surprises me a little bit. In the event, I'm sure they have all kinds.
I think they're supposed to. Some of the stuff that people got into. It was like the Zapruder film. Like, they were like dissecting, like, what had happened. And, like, they're showing pictures of the cards. And, you know, was he really making a mistake? But they have basically two accountants. Short version.
Yeah.
The accountant firm sends two of the folks. One of them looks like an overweight version of Matt Damon.
Really?
You know, they're in each side, and they each have an envelope. They each have portfolios with all of the envelopes. So that's why somebody could even get the wrong envelope, because there was a second one.
And this is what surprised me. They have two versions on both sides of the aisle, because as someone said the next day, they don't know which way the celebrities, when they come backstage, are going to show up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, for a show that's this big and this expensive and this well choreographed, you don't have that?
I think
like Matt Damon or whoever who's presenting, or some second,
you're right,
just wander around the back and go, well, yeah, I'm on now. Really?
You know,
in show business, in the movies where everything is marked out and timed, right, and you have to...
I'm sure it is planned for going to the side, but what you don't want to do is, if you make a last minute change, to only have somebody on one side.
That's true.
Like, you need to have that second person available there. But so the way it worked, like, because that was the big thing initially, people were like, oh, you know,
Emma Stone.
Okay, Emma Stone left her envelope behind, and they're like, no, she's like, I got my envelope.
Yeah.
So how the heck could they read another envelope with my name? Well, it's because there's really two of them, and so the other person had gotten handed this one a second time around. And
if you get into an eBay auction for that other envelope, I'm telling you right now, it's a fake. It's someone like me trying to make some money.
Jeez, never thought about that.
Yeah.
They're probably circulating
something. I did find it interesting that there's no plan. Yeah. I found it interesting that it all seemed a bit loosey-goosey, that the celebs just show up backstage and they come out from either side. I always thought everything is game planned.
Yeah.
And then I found it even more interesting that in the event of the wrong Oscar, everyone was just, yeah.
Yeah, well, we don't want to be that. That's the part you're talking about, being the number of podcasts and articles that got written in the 24-hour span after happened.
It was clearly fixed.
It was
clearly rigged.
That's true. I guess it got a lot of attention,
fixed,
all that
yes,
sort of stuff. But I was... There wasn't that much to say about it. I mean, we're already saying more than needs to be said about it. It was more interesting to introduce your story, because... now I'm going to keep that in my pocket. And so the next time you say anything with a great deal of conviction, be like, so is this like La La Land and the Oscars?
It's an interesting old show. Like I said, I sort of tuned out of it for a while. I do find it interesting that people analyze it as a show, and they always go, after the fact, it was ratings were down, and what's the matter with the show? And I'm like, no one ever seems to just want to go, well, no one knows what the films are. And they all want to blame someone else. And to me, the Oscars is like a ball game. It's like the Super Bowl. Ratings plummet because either A, it's from two towns that no one cares about, or B, the game is crap.
Yeah.
And everyone, I do think this whole notion of, oh, people aren't interested anymore, I do think it's slightly overplayed a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a TV show where they give out awards.
Yeah.
It goes on
fast. Yeah, overall, Kimmel did a good job. I think he's probably going to get invited back. Like him.
Do you know what I think?
They did less song and dance shtick, because he's not a song and dance. Like, it wasn't like when what's his name from How I Met Your Mother?
And
Doogie Howser. When Doogie Howser was doing it, you know.
He's not like Billy Crystal. It's interesting.
It was friendly and a little bit sarcastic,
you know,
but not
nastily. You know who I thought he was great? and I don't want to get lost in this. I've said on this show,
the British Office guy, did he do, was that the Oscars?
He does the Golden Globes.
Okay.
Yeah, he just makes lots of jokes about people drinking too much.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't do it this year, I don't think.
I felt Jimmy Kimmel sort of tried to channel Johnny Carson, right, who I think was the perfect host. He could sort of kid, but he didn't get in the way.
Yeah.
And he did it like, I think Carson did it like 10 times.
Yeah.
And no one can go, that year was better than the other, because he just did his thing. And I thought that was great, because I'm actually not turning on to watch. And I'm not knocking the Doogie Howser, because I think he's great. But I'm not...
No,
it's not, I don't want to watch all that.
Now, meanwhile, the speeches are... I think just because everybody's gotten safer over the years, they're so mundane. Like, you know, we had a little bit of emotion in Viola Davis's speech, but otherwise it was like, whatever. Yeah, up there, thank you. Thanks to all these people. You go down the list. You very rarely get anything interesting. I guess in Matthew McConaughey's All Right, All Right. Oh, that wasn't even on that. That was... He had already done his All Right, All Right. You know,
oh, really?
I think it was Golden Globes, because that's one of
the... Oh, he did it again.
No,
he did the same thing again.
I can't remember.
I find award shows, when you sit and look at them in the cold light of day, they're uninspired. I just don't get it.
Yeah. It's almost like you watch it to see what they try to do. It's like meta. You're not like watching it for its actual content. It's watching, like, so he did the bit where he dropped food off of the out of the ceiling, and it was cute. But that's the kind of thing you're like, oh, you watch it to see what they would try to do to make it more interesting. Not that any of it actually ends up being any more interesting.
But watching a whole load of people who you don't know, and let's face it,
they had the random bus of people come in or whatever. Yeah. That was a little bit strange.
Watching a whole load of people just sort of say thanks for getting an award.
Right.
It's a very odd way to fill 4 hours, which is what it is. Yeah.
Well, people love celebrities.
All right. So that's Oscars. So,
yeah. Out of that. So the other thing we were going to talk about, which all this stuff is interrelating to other podcasts, is that Alexa bit. You know, we just did the podcast
on our
Alexa
last show. And OK, yes, Google. 2 weeks ago, we did a show. Again, I'm walking CSI Dan through this. 2 weeks ago, we released a show where we had both Alexa and Google Home.
Yeah.
Although technically,
you wrote it up in the original release.
Google Help.
Google Help. And there's still a couple of things where it shows up as Google Help. Because you can't change.
You can't change
some of them, but the tweet still says Google Home Help or something like that.
So. Well, anyway, we had them in the studio as our guests. Yeah. And we talked at length about the legalese surrounding these devices. Apparently, you found a story.
So we mentioned this during the thing, but now the article just since then came out talking about this murder case in Arkansas where the police, actually it's the defense, is seeking to get a warrant for all the records of what was recorded by this. And the original theory, maybe it is the prosecution, the original theory was that this thing is recording all the time. And so it would have recorded what happened with this murder, which apparently was somewhere around a hot tub because this body was found in a hot tub. And at the time, Alexa, first of all, Amazon, who runs Alexa, of course, was basically saying,
yeah, we're not doing
it. We don't have that stuff, but we're also not going to give it to you because this is all privacy stuff. Well, they now said they're going to give all the records over. At least that's their plan right now, to release these records. But, you know, they're basically describing, say, this thing doesn't record everything. It records, it sends to the internet the parts that say when you trigger Alexa. So, again, if the person, as they were being murdered, said, Alexa, record the fact that I'm being murdered by Bob.
Keep
that
might be helpful for the next 20 minutes. Yeah.
But they're going to find out. So the interest, people are talking about it because it's just sort of a little behind the scenes. Like, forget about what it does for this case. What's it actually going to do for, like, what's it going to tell us about how this thing works? And then, you know, it could become a stock part of people which I could do with your phone now.
The CIA can. I don't know about anyone else, but the CIA can. Because that story came out this week that the CIA actually have the ability to use your smartphone.
Because the whole thing about, like, turn your Samsung TV. Well, your Samsung TV might be on. I haven't looked at the actual release stuff. What I couldn't tell if this was sort of theory papers, like we have tools to do this, or was it actually details of how these tools operate?
It was
people seem to treat it like it was established that these things are really there.
It was WikiLeaks had dumped a whole load of emails, basically, which claimed that the emails claimed that the CIA had the capacity, but it didn't claim actually evidence. I don't think what WikiLeaks, I might be wrong.
The emails are inside of their contractors or something.
That's like what that. I'm saying. The emails that WikiLeaks dumped was contractor conversations basically saying the CIA can do this. What the emails didn't dump was records of it having been done, or, which are two slightly different.
Or the actual software, I don't think was in there. But so the idea was it could listen to you on your phone, you know, turn the devices that we all have around us into listening devices. And it wouldn't surprise me, like, if that exists, but, and I don't really care.
But you know something? Yeah, and I don't really care because someone's already doing that now anyway.
Well, you're the guy who tapes over the
Yeah, we covered that in the last show. So someone's already said the fact that the CIA are doing it, what do I care? You know, great. I hope you're doing it because otherwise you're behind the curve. I did think the interesting thing in the Alexa story you showed me on the Arkansas case was they just gave up with the Alexa thing when someone uncovered a water bill.
Well, I don't think they've given up on it, but that was the thing. Like, it was very, like, the whole thing talks about Alexa, and then they talk about the other big part was there was an inordinate amount of water used
between 2 and 3 in the morning
weird hour in the morning where, you know, they have now electronic meters, and so they can literally have records of how much your water is being used moments of time. You know, it used to be they'd come show up and they'd read your meter once a month and they say, okay, this is how much. But now this is telling you how much water is point to point, and just hundreds of gallons had gotten used, maybe 150 gallons or something.
150 gallons had got used in like 56 minutes or something.
In the evening, like deep in the evening kind of thing. And to me, like, and of course they're theorizing that this was a cleanup effort. Because when they got there, apparently like the back patio was all wet.
Yes.
You know, and it hadn't rained or whatever the heck had happened.
And they'd hosed it down.
That's sure a lot more damming than
Alexa, I guess. Just hearing someone go thump outside.
Exactly.
Or unless Alexa has recorded, turn on the hose so we can wash away all the blood.
Do you ever think about this? I mean, hopefully this does not sound too weird, but I'm sure you'll make it out to be too weird.
Of course, yes.
If you were, if you had to get away with a crime today, right? The things to think about that you'd have to worry about, right? You don't want to take your phone with you to do any of this, or at least not have your phone on with it on and beaming your, you know, tracking your location and all that. Because even if you don't have the location services on your phone for your GPS, it can tell based on what cell towers you're at and things like that. So you got that. You don't want to have an easy pass thing in your car. You know, there are stories about people who, like, their easy pass to go through thing. It shows them going in there.
Well, and to be fair, you know, I don't mean to interrupt before you continue, but the other thing that the emails had also said was the CIA can track you through smart cars.
Oh, yeah.
So all that technology. So
your car's got these things built into it. Then now the water. I'd never thought about the water. Like, you know, if you want to.
Yeah.
It's getting increasingly difficult to perpetrate a major crime. I mean, even the phone alone, right? Just think about this. You would have to make sure you have a good selection of maps. And I know once upon a time they had to use that. But if you have to dump a body somewhere or you want to rob something that's somewhere, you're going to need to know the directions without conferring with Google Maps. Because as soon as you do that, you've given it away.
Like most.
You can't search on the internet. Like what you'd want to do is, like, you want to find out some information about where you can't search on the internet at home. They're going to grab your computer and they're going to have all the records of that, or they're going to go straight to Google and say, what searches did this guy run?
Modern technology is such that when things break, back in the day we used to try and fix things ourselves. Yeah. Now you don't do that. Same with murder. It's too much effort to do it yourself. Yeah. Now, just pay someone else to do it. And in a strange way, that's actually the easiest way to get away with it. Because trying to do it yourself is just too complicated.
To pay them, you need to do this all over landline phone. Yes, maybe that's not true. How do you talk to them? How do you make an arrangement to meet? And then when you meet with them, you have to make sure you don't have those phones and all that stuff.
Because there's no pay phones anymore. So you can't do that like in the films. Call me back at this number. Yeah.
Exactly. You have to write a little note to do this.
It's like, I still think, you've obviously seen Heat with Al Pacino and Robert De Niro, that one of the greatest movies of all time. That film is now about 20 years old. The villains spend all their time in, like, restaurants or payphones, hanging up, dialing, having weird meets at, like, disused drive-ins and stuff. Yeah. The film is completely unrealistic to modern life, even though it still looks like it was just yesterday.
Yeah,
because you're right, it's all changed it.
Yeah. Other technology things that are noted, I think we forgot to put this on our list, but the delivery thing.
No, I will embed the article. You sent me, interesting, I hadn't seen it, that apparently now in Washington, D.C., there are these little six-wheeled robot sort of carriers that look like, from the photo, they're about 1.5-2 feet off the ground, total high. They have six wheels. They basically look about the same size as like a kid's radio flyer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they've got a couple of feet long.
It's like a cart.
They look a bit like
antenna there. It's cute.
They look like a little lander from one of these sci-fi movies. But now apparently
I'm going to play the video only because this we could see it. And the music is kind of cute. Not that we may be able to hear it or not, but. It actually sounds a little bit like Blade Runner.
Yeah. But again, the story's just not that interesting.
So anyway, this is being run by Postmates, and people don't know what Postmates is. Postmates is a food delivery service. Right. So
can I clarify? Because I read the article, watched the movie, and then really didn't read the article properly. Is it carry out delivery, like Chinese takeaway or pizza, or is it grocery delivery?
The first. It's food order stuff. Yes, and so what it is it's not... Postmates is one of these intermediary, like, disruptor type companies where they're basically trying to do those deliveries for a whole host of different restaurants.
Okay.
And then you go to the website, and they're all working on signing a bunch up. And so in the streets of DC now, you'll be able to order it, and the Postmates thing will come to your office or wherever, your home, I guess. Yeah. I think right now they're starting in Georgetown and on the 14th Street corridor is what it said. The thing, obviously, it's got like 9 cameras, it says, a GPS, a bunch of physical sensors of people being in its way and things like that. And it's got little brake lights. I saw, like, when they were running the video, like, when it stops, it has brake lights. So I guess if you're walking by,
because it runs on the sidewalk, obviously.
Yes. They had to get special legislation because the thing is on the sidewalk and people normally walk on the sidewalk and you can't just randomly put electronic vehicles, but they got approval to do this. So it's all part of, the coming wave of robots and controlling everything.
Well, I want to say something to it. I said about 60 seconds ago, it looks like one of those things like Mars landers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Those little remote buggies. That technology has been around for a long while now. And I find it interesting because we are going to talk about in a moment about the fact drone delivery. I find it interesting that this one has come in behind drones, and yet ultimately, why didn't we do this first? Because this technology has existed for years.
Well, that's not true. I mean, like, it's the whole part.
We can have something rove around Mars, miles, billions of miles.
But those are
remote
controlled. Like, the big thing is you just put it out there and you say, go to this address.
Okay.
It figures everything out.
So it's autonomous. Okay.
And, like, it's got its sensors. There's something about it crossing streets. It will only cross streets at crosswalks. And so it has to be able to view that these are crosswalks. It has to know that the light is red to, go across the street or not.
That's
go across
true,
the street. It has to not run into people. It has to navigate curbs and all these things.
And avoid getting hit by cars.
Yeah.
I would be livid if my lunch didn't arrive because it had been hit by a car. I would be furious.
Yeah.
I'd be even more frustrated.
And of course, like we've joked about the drones people just steal them, right? Or knock them over or take them or whatever it is. Because this thing it's big-ish, but you could just pick it up and take it with you. And the people who run it basically said, if somebody's doing that, it's not going to work out very well for them because the thing's full of cameras taking pictures the whole time. And so if somebody comes and takes it, it's got a GPS. I mean, we know where it goes.
We know where
you are.
We're
taking pictures of you while you do it. And that's all if you're doing that all to steal some sandwiches, it's probably not worth the time to do it. And of course, the equipment, meanwhile, right? I just thought it's now terrorist implications, right? Like, you can throw these things in there.
Oh, yeah.
If you got these things around, if somebody snags one of these devices and now remote pilots it somewhere to blow up.
What was the name of that? Back in the mid-80s, there was a Tom Selleck film with Gene Simmons as the villain. And he's like a future... Tom Selleck is like a cop in the future. Because it was directed and written by Michael Crichton. What was it called? And Gene Simmons is using robot technology.
I picture it, but I don't remember what it's
called. Okay, so there you go. If you know what that is, email us. We'll just Wikipedia.
It's very easy to find.
But Tom Selleck and Gene Simmons. But it's the same sort of thing. It was all about, and that was 30 years ago. Yeah. Well, I do find it interesting that, I look back, because we talked about it when it first came out. Amazon... Don't want to put the boot into them. Although, what do I care? Because we shouted Alexa out for a whole episode. Amazon first sort of teased us with the drone delivery like 3 years ago. Yeah, and that don't seem any nearer than it was.
Well, no, they claim to do it. It's basically like one household in Scotland that they've done it.
Forget that. Yeah, whereas the great thing about the wheeled delivery device, I'm like, that's happening now.
Yeah, no, they're actually doing it this
moment.
And
I felt that was more...
The other thing, I mean, listen, if this gets popular... Can you imagine the sidewalks being full of dozens of these things? Apparently, I think there are 20 of these, so it's not too many to start. And, obviously, they're going to still use people for delivering most of the Postmate stuff. I'm sure it's all to figure out, does it work?
I want to say this, though. I cannot imagine it can't be that quick. If the things share in sidewalk space, then it's stopping to avoid everyone. Because the last thing you need...
I don't know if regular Postmates of people deliver on bicycles or what they
do. That's the thing. The last thing you need if you're this company is to have it run into some old lady. And then the next thing you know, you got a lawsuit. So I can't imagine... That, you know, it's like trying to, it's like the difference between bicycle lanes and riding your bike on the sidewalk. It's actually a lot easier to be in the road or on the, in the bicycle. Right. Do you know what I mean? Just, and while it has the technology to self-navigate, I can't imagine it, you know, lunchtime and a whole load of people on the streets constantly going to be stopping and then trying to turn.
Well, I was thinking, like, so they probably picked DC because DC is a city, but like the sidewalks don't get that crowded, you know? It's not like New York City, like when you come up to an intersection and there's like 40 of you trying to go across this intersection. There's no way that the little machine, plus everybody would just kick it out of the way. They'd be so mad at it in New York. They're not that friendly to the other pedestrians. Not going to be that friendly to a robot. Whereas in DC, everybody's like, "Ooh, look, this looks like
fun." It's true.
Yeah. Maybe I'll catch a ride. I can hop on.
Anything else on robots and
drones? No, I think that covers
So I'm now going to give us a quick segue to our next story. We're going to talk about satellite radio, and one of the people we're going to talk about is Howard Stern, who of course worked in both Washington DC and New York.
Yeah, right. Well,
whatever. It's a segue.
But I think if it has a segue, I think. You know, like just announcing a new topic and the fact that it has a connection is not really the segue. The segue would have to be, I don't know, has to be a little bit more seamless than that.
I beg to differ.
Anyway, so XM, this came up recently because I had XM way back when, you know, when you bought the little aftermarket radios before they were built into the cars. And I thought this was going to be all the wave. I think I actually own a little bit of stock in XM.
Oh, do you?
Sirius, yeah. Because they merged together ultimately. I forget we bought XM stock to start and then.
Okay.
But it's worth like 20% of what it was when I bought it. But.
And obviously, if you've been listening every 2 weeks to us, you'll know that back in September, I took delivery of a new car. And with most new cars now, you get a serious subscription.
So that's why you're using it now, right? So the reason I have it right is because once you started getting Spotify and you could choose your own music and put it on your phone, I kind of dumped the XM. The other member of the household kept it in their car. Well, I brought my car in recently for maintenance to the Infiniti dealer. It didn't even cost me anything because I was trying to find an issue, and they said there doesn't seem to be anything going on with your car here. They examined it for like 2 days to try to figure something out. Not a story that's that interesting. Okay. But then I get an email afterwards saying, "Hey, saw you were in your Infiniti dealer recently. Here's 2 months of free XM. You know, we've just turned your radio back on."
So you got it from Sirius.
Well, they sent me the email. It must be a deal.
How many years since
inactive? Got to be two years, I think. Yeah. And so they just turn it back on, which shows you desperation. I mean, the fact that I brought the car in, I don't know why that would suddenly trigger, "Oh, we're going to give you free XM for a couple of months." But in any event, I had the XM, so I started listening to it again. And, it has Howard Stern show on it because he moved over to – he went to Sirius. XM were separate, he went to Sirius.
And that was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Because he'd been on regular FM radio, years. Was it what? Late 90s? I don't know. Let's not stop.
So went over – like the big deal was like because Stern people listened to him on there. He was syndicated across the country and now suddenly people are going to have to pay. They paid him by like giving him a tremendous amount of stock in the company.
Oh, he's done fine out of it,
So at the time when they did that, and even when they merged XM, like, so you couldn't get them on XM, you used to get them on Sirius because it was only on that Sirius, the company Sirius. Then they merged, and even when they merged, it was very weird because they had different equipment, and you still get different equipment, but it's the same programming being funneled through two different sets of satellites and equipment. You still didn't get Howard unless you paid something extra.
Really?
If you're on XM side. If you're on the Sirius side, then you got it. Yeah. I think now that must not be the case because now
Now it's different because there's no extra equipment. It's all built into your car, whatever.
Well, but like, you know, the thing that's built in your car is either an XM radio or a Sirius radio.
Okay.
But ultimately, the programming that's coming through it is identical or nearly identical because the companies are folded together. So I was surprised that it actually was on there and I was listening to it some. Now I go way back with Howard Stern.
Yeah, you told me you have a way back Howard Stern story.
I mean, I was trying to think. When I was in high school, coming out of high school, 87, I drove a call them an ambulette. Basically, people will be in wheelchairs. It's not an ambulance, but it's a van. It looks a little like an ambulance.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah.
And you're not going to emergency. It doesn't have lights and sirens on it. But, it, you know, you would go to places, and you were in sort of a pseudo-medical-looking outfit, and you'd wheel somebody into the wheelchair. You'd take them to their appointments.
Or you're not a doctor. You just drive like one.
Okay. Yeah, right, right. So a big open van, and it had a ramp, and you know, you take the person up and all that. But there was a lot of downtime because it was a little bit like a taxi. I mean, at that time, it had certain places you had to be at a time, but then the rest of the time, you were just waiting around to say, oh, you know, we need someone to go here to pick somebody up. So I just listened to the radio, and you know, at the time, I mean, I guess I could have read a book, but there was, you know, your choices were just going to be music or the Howard Stern Show. I would listen to that for, you know, hours on end without interruption. And nowadays, like, I commute, and however long my commute is, that's how I'm locked. But this time, I would listen to it like for 4 hours straight. And so I got very familiar with them and all that. And so that's 40 years ago?
Many years ago. 30 years ago. We're of indeterminate middle age, so I'm consistently getting 30, 40, and 50 years ago mixed up.
Yeah.
So, whatever. It's
30 years ago.
It's a couple of generations ago. Yeah.
So, turning it on again, it's like it's not changed. I mean, there's certain things that are different we'll talk about, but it's in a weird way, it's the exact same thing. It's also just different in some certain ways. Like, so it's fundamental. There are parts of that are the same. Obviously, it's Howard. Robin is still there. Fred is still there.
Baba Booey.
Yeah, Baba Booey, the producer, is still there.
But they don't call him Baba Booey anymore.
Why is that?
They don't. I notice. It's very rare you hear the phrase. I remember when Stern was on the radio, and like you, I used to listen to him. And like you, I have a... before we continue with Stern, I have the opposite thing, relationship with Sirius, maybe because I now have it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I have found that my other devices have become redundant. Whereas you found that
I got tired on the music side. I get tired of like waiting around for anything.
And now that I have Sirius, well, obviously I'm now able to listen to Howard again. So I have recently gone back in. Yeah, they don't call. I very rarely hear Gary referred to as Baba Booey.
Yeah,
but it is interesting. Listening to the show again, it's like this isn't a criticism. It is trapped in its own sort of time. But I don't mean that as a criticism, because you're right. It's the same, but it's different.
Yeah, like the pattern of it. Like, it's slower, but he was always comfortable with lulls in his conversation. I mean, the one thing I will say, I mean, the guy is an expert in doing a radio broadcast.
I got to tell you something, and you know, you
4 hours a day. We've talked before about, like, we scrabble together an hour every 2 weeks.
You're right.
These people do 4 hours a day.
I'd like to think that if you've been with us a long time, again in, you know, 2 week increments, CSI Dan. If you've been with us a long time for nearly 5 years now, I'd like to think we've got a lot better. At the end of the day, we are committed amateurs. You listen to Howard Stern, and you suddenly realize. Yeah. The ability to sit and talk.
And not just him. I mean, him and Robin and the other people who are the main characters, even Bob Bowie's a producer, they don't come on the air and sound awkward or that, like, they're vocally.
And I think this is the thing about Stern, that he's got to the stage. Obviously, he is technically, although, again, it doesn't sound any different. He's not suddenly got better in the last 20 years.
No, he was always...
And I would imagine that if you somehow can find his old stuff somewhere, I can't imagine he's suddenly much, 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 much better. What's interesting, though, is it's really, really good and really, really professional. And the fact that he's still surrounded by, you know, there are a lot of new voices, but there are some familiar voices. It almost is like they're just sitting around talking.
Yeah.
And yet, strangely enough, and I had this conversation with someone else who was sitting in the car. So someone was sitting in the car with me, and they were like, what must it like to be his wife? And I said, well, it's not like he sits around the dinner table and talks about his stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe he does.
I don't think so.
You know, it's an act, which is, and I hate even using that phrase, because I think he's a legend, even calling it an act somehow sounds like an insult. It's not, it's...
Yeah, well, amazing. The big thing about him, they always talk about, he would talk about personal things, but he's clearly not talking about it the same way he would around his family. He's merged his performance with his personality in a way that
And well, out of the back of this conversation I had with someone who said to me, oh, you know, we were listening to Stern in the car and I decided later to go online. I mean, he's in his 60s now.
I'm surprised he's not even older.
That's what I'm saying. If I say that to you, I think our natural, anyone's natural tendency to ageism might kick in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I
thought about like Robin and all these folks. I'm like, they're pretty darn old now. And like Fred, and I think he was like old to begin with.
I think that's just sound, frankly.
I don't know if he's too much of that, but like, you know, the people they did lose along the way were Jackie was always a big thing back in the day. Jackie Martin,
Jackie,
or whatever. And he got,
who was the other guy who went to work for Jay Leno?
Stutter and John. And he was actually sort of, he wasn't in the early days. And then what, Artie Lang was in the later parts of things.
And like Artie's always sort of come and gone and done his own.
Right.
Good thing. Anyway, it's interesting. The one thing,
so one thing though, by contrast, is they also have these whack pack characters.
Oh yeah,
these people aren't paid. Yeah.
No,
they're the people who are like callers into things. So like high pitched Eric is this one.
Yeah.
So they actually played a little clip, and this alludes to a bunch of the elements of it, which is there's different technology things.
Yeah.
So they have a high pitched Eric does a podcast that's sort of about the Howard Stern show.
Yes,
you know where they do it afterwards, and let me tell you. We're definitely a lot better than high-pitched Eric at podcasting,
yeah.
I can tell you. I don't want to brag, but for a guy who spends his entire life listening to Howard Stern show, like it's like they had no idea what was going on with the technology and how they sound alive.
I do want to jump on that point in a moment when we sort of veer back to having satellite radio in general. I think the interesting thing that I think is a lot of the other characters are on the show. Must be quite odd, because knowing that Howard is 63, these people that now work for him, the writers, some of the... Because I think the other characters...
Yeah, not the high pitcher, but there's a bunch of people who are clearly work for the show.
They work for the show? They must have grown up listening to him.
Yeah.
And it must be kind of strange.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, if you and I went to work for Howard Stern, yes, we've listened to him back in time. But we're sitting here going, we're of indeterminate middle age.
Yeah.
That some of these guys must be
20-year-olds, 30-year-olds.
You know, and that's it. I found that interesting too. And yet, there's no sense that anyone's on an entirely different wavelength.
No, maybe that's it. I mean, listen, if you grew up with him, he's not going to have any struggles with you because he's the god that you're getting to work for. You're never going to complain. I imagine they get paid horribly as a result. But like, so all these other hangers on these whack pack, they don't get paid. They don't do it, but they just, you know, whatever their situation is. But they used to call, it's not an appropriate word because I'm describing the whole thing, Wendy the retard she used to be. I notice now that she's Wendy the slow adult.
Yes.
Like they changed that because they must have been like, hey, this isn't appropriate. And so they refer to, like, I don't mean just they're joking by saying that. That's literally how everything they talk about her. They never use the word
Which
anymore.
Is amazing now that he's on satellite radio.
The curse like crazy. Like, I mean, that's the one thing that's definitely different. Like,
yeah.
Like you could not even think about listening to this with your kids or anything like that.
It's
just like the stories that they tell are stuff that they never were able to get away with before.
One thing I've noticed from being away from him for a while and then circling back to him in the last couple of months, he's a much better interviewer of... It's one thing, you know, obviously Howard was famous for having, like, you know, the whack pack on and porn stars and people. Right. We're right there if you're listening, fair or foul. As a listener, you bring your inherent bias to how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the stick was, to me, is this Howard, who we all love, talking down to this collection of people that do wacky things. One thing I've noticed now, returning to him, just in the past couple of weeks, I've listened to him, and I don't know because of satellite and because it's on all the time. I don't actually know when.
Yeah, there's two channels.
Yeah.
There's one that's clearly playing the morning show, and it's 100, or at least on XM, it's 100. And the other one's 101, and 101 is running... other stuff
from
and
then like it starts
sometimes is that then it's running the West Coast feed of the same show, so if you like listening to the main thing and you decide, well, I don't really like this, you can switch over and you can actually hear things from earlier in the show. And then when it's off hours, they're both running all kinds of repeats and derivative stuff.
He had Lance Armstrong on this week, and he started off by talking about the fact that Lance Armstrong now has a podcast, so he was having a go at, yeah, everyone's doing stuff that I've done for years and everything. But he had Lance Armstrong on. I've listened to, he had James Corden on, he played an old Jimmy Kimmel, they were playing an old Jimmy Kimmel around the time of the Oscars.
Yeah, I listened to a repeat over the weekend where he was talking to Jerry Seinfeld, which was fantastic from 2010, but it was like...
He's a much better interviewer of... I can't believe I'm saying it this way, but I think people know what I mean is more mainstream regular guests. He's a much better interviewer than people ever gave him credit for. Mm-hmm. And obviously, any interview is... It runs on the strength of the interviewee, but it's also down to the host to make an interesting conversation. And I think for years, you'd always thought that Howard, in the back of his mind, was always either making fun of people or laughing with them or laughing at himself, which he's always been very good about. But I was actually pleasantly surprised that when he has conversations with people who do interesting things, he's not a bad interviewer at all.
Yeah.
And that is one of his strengths as just a performer. He's, you know.
The nice part is he goes, oh, you have a new movie out. Tell me about the experience of your new movie. It's much more he's prying at something to try to get them to talk about something. And
maybe because they're
in a studio without an audience that he gets them to talk about some things. Like a podcast, you know.
And I want to say this now about satellite radio. And again, I think, I don't know, this is, you know, we're all the way into one of these shows and I'm going to say something, you know, quite personal. I remember being a kid and I used to have this, my transistor radio went with me everywhere. Wherever I was in the house, I took it with me and I turned it on and that was my company.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember DJs I used to listen to and I used to like so-and-so's show and such and such. I had a relationship with the radio. I found that Howard is sort of, when you listen to Howard again, it sort of, it brings that back in you, your relationship with a voice coming out of a box. Mm-hmm. And yet, in a strange way, while satellite's more modern, it's this weird sort of split thing. And what I mean by that is, you know, you talked about the fact that you know, you went to other devices. Radio used to be about music, and for me, music and the personalities that introduced that music to you. Now, I think when I listen to the music stations on satellite and there's no commercial music, I find the DJs the dullest, most uninteresting people ever. And I'm like, no, just play more tunes.
Yeah, yeah. And I've noticed they have more of that than last time at XM. There's more of these people doing things
so
in between.
To your point,
it's got to be like in terms of who goes into the business at this point.
Yes.
Becoming a music DJ.
It's not the same as it was 25 years ago. But it is interesting. And to your point now, and maybe to Howard's point when he was talking to Lance Armstrong, anyone who's interesting actually has a podcast.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't need to listen to your show.
If I have things to say that are of interest, well, I'm going to just
put it on a
vehicle that I can say it.
And I think Howard was one of the first guys, even in the morning, to get rid of, you don't need music. He is one of the first. And again, I'm not talking about true talk radio guys who are on AM.
Yeah.
Howard was one of the first FM guys to sort of go, yeah, in the morning, you actually don't need to play any records.
At least, I mean, if you believe the movie, like the movie sort of makes it out like he was playing songs a little bit to begin, but then he like,
and then he's like, yeah, these songs are just getting in the way.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. And it's interesting how satellite has sort of, and it's funny because I listen to Howard. I like the music channels depending what I'm in the mood for. I don't have any affinity to anyone. Does Bob Dylan still have a show on satellite? I think he used to for a while. There used to be like celebrity channels, like the Dylan show.
There's a Tom Petty one now. Maybe he took over for Dylan.
You know the other thing? Obviously, I love the sports, but I also love the fact that I like the comedy. Like they just play stand-up clips. Mm-hmm. I like that station.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how the technology's changed, but also how something's delivered and what's being delivered has also morphed with the time. And I just, you know, I find that interesting. And in a strange way, again, Howard's got two stations. Listening to Howard again after not listening to him for many years because I didn't have satellite radio, I've sort of re-fallen in love with a personality talking to me.
By the same token, I don't know how long this, like I think after a little while listen to him, I probably go back to podcast because it is still this, like the bits, the stories about somebody, what they're doing, the feuds they're having, which by the way, this is the other part of the technology. They have all this stuff where they can clip in now, like they're talking about Twitter and Periscope and, you know, people having a Twitter war. And here I'm going to take a piece of the podcast, but he has a whole bit where like when he doesn't have a guest, he's just he's hammering on the they're people in the studio. It's like, oh, what are you doing? You know, it's just like really needling them into this stuff, and they kind of play along with it.
Yeah.
And you can tell a lot of what they're doing outside is designed to set up these stories. And I imagine after a while I go, okay, I got it. It's sort of the same thing.
It is, but it's strange. If you're in your car driving somewhere for 25 minutes, it can, and ultimately maybe with radio. And again, I think this is where podcasts are inherently different. You and I talk for an hour, right? Just right. Somewhere around an hour. If you commit, you know, every second week, CSI Dan, to listen to us, then you're turning it on and you're committing basically, you're either stopping it, but you're committing to going from the start to the finish.
Right.
It is a different skill set you just dip in and dip out. And like I say, the interesting thing about Howard is however long you're, commute is, because ultimately that is, you know, that is the way most people still listen to stuff. He can still hold it for 30 minutes.
Right.
So even when they are doing the same old shtick, he's good enough where, yeah, they can just, I mean, it was interesting. The other day, him and I was into a show and Robin was just doing the news.
Yeah.
The news took 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Because they're just talking about stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And there wasn't any other kid. It was just him and her and they're talking about this, that, and the other. And I'm like, yeah, it is amazing to me. It's a real skill. And having, you know, you and I doing this as a couple of amateurs, you know, we have scripts, we plan, we plot. I can't, if you're Howard Stern in 63, and I know at 63, and I'm sure he's got a whole lot of people working for him, I'd be curious to know, you know, what's on that A4 bit of paper on the desk?
Yeah, I think he's still there's a little more.
What, 4 hours, yeah, 5 hours? Like
there's a little more than you think. One of the things I was going to mention with the whole technology difference is, I assume in your car, it has like a little, it has a title of channel and then it'll have, it has another line. And regular radio stations have this now where it might list the song or something like that. So it will list like a description of what they're talking about at the time.
Yeah.
You know, and a bunch of times I've noticed it's listing something that they haven't actually started talking about.
No.
Yet. Like, it'll be so. But they get to that eventually, which makes you think, like, even though it's sort of, oh, somebody stumbled into the studio and we ended up talking about this, it was planned to talk about that. He actually referred to what was in that. It had an acronym, like a DMT or something like that, but let's call it the ticker, like the ticker He referred to the fact that one of the staff people is the person who's responsible for putting that in on a rolling basis during the show.
Okay.
And I think when they're going to know they're going to come up with a topic, they put in what it's going to be. And so it's not covering everything. But you'd look up there and you'd be like, oh, it's a so-and-so story about somebody's time in the Philippines or something like that.
Yeah, I heard that this weekend.
Yeah. And, but they hadn't started talking about it. It was a solid 5 minutes of that being up there before they started talking about it. So I was like, okay, well, they clearly had planned, let's grab this random guy from the hallway and come in here and talk about it.
Because he doesn't play commercials.
He does have commercials.
Oh, he does? Yeah, yeah. Well, no, he does reads, which is slightly
different. Reads, yeah, it's basically most of the, and it's one of the interesting, because I did wonder with the Switch, I'm sure they want to have their revenue. But now, because it has the two channels, like, all I just would do anytime he would go into that is I just switch to the other one.
Yeah.
You know?
So you've got, now, so again, I guess this is the million-dollar question as we get towards the end of our show. You've been given this 2-month trial.
Yeah.
So do you have an opinion? And maybe I'll give you mine first. So this is the first time I've ever had satellite in my new car. Like I said, I've got a 1-year subscription for the thing. I'm seriously considering re-upping, depending on the price. The price notwithstanding.
So basically,
I am considering re-upping when I get towards the end. And as you said to me, yeah, just try and haggle a deal out of them.
Yeah.
But I'm not a natural haggler. But I would actually make the effort to haggle a deal, because I'm still at the stage where I'm enjoying it. Although I will make one criticism. I have a couple of stations, music stations, and again, I'm limited by the fact I've got 8 buttons on my car. So I'm very lazy. I've got 8 buttons. I like to have them all programmed.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got, you know, the soccer channel. I've got one Howard channel. I've got a couple of other music channels. In a strange way, though, in the music channels, I do find it fascinating that the same old songs, for example, one of the channels I like is, I think it's called First Wave. So it's a whole load of 80s like music.
Early alt.
Early alternative. I'm shocked how many times I keep hearing the same song. I think I've heard The Police's Synchronicity like 6 times in the last week. And I'm like, you got a whole channel dedicated to a genre. You got 24 hours in the day. My life pattern of commuting is pretty much set. I find it surprising that I'm hearing the same old, same old, same old. And that's my one criticism.
Yeah, I think
I find this on a couple of my channels.
I don't know. It has a lot to do with, you know, what they're paying for. And I don't...
Sure.
I don't know if it's possible that they... Maybe they pay in such a way. Can I, like, you know, on a TV channel, they'll have a movie on and it's on a bunch of times and then it's not on at all. And I think they're maybe just paying for it at that in that time frame. So it's possible with the songs that somehow they can pay royalties in a way that they'll rotate. Like, my impression when I had it before was that would happen, but it wouldn't last forever. Like, it wasn't like Synchronicity was on there all the time for 2 years. Yeah, it was like it was on all the time for a certain amount of time, and then it kind of rolled off of their rotation and put it in there. So we'll have to see. I agree with you. What I found, because maybe since we had that conversation, I had to renew on the second car on the other member of the household. If you're in a contract with them and they're, you know, it comes up renewal and you say, hey, you know, I'd like to renew, but I don't know, you know, they don't seem to give you a deal. But if you let it go, like you say, okay, well, cancel, then like a month later they come back with, oh, we'll give you like 6 months for $5 a month kind of thing. And that's probably where I am. I think, again, like I got sick and tired of checking around the stations. It's funny you mentioned the presets because since I had it on, like, you know, car now has like three sets of six. So I use one set for the XM, but you can't cover all the things you want to do. And so I was trying to pick anchor stations and be like, okay,
yeah,
if I put the 80s channel on here, I can go down a little bit to the 70s or up to the 90s from there, skip over the pop things in the middle, pick something in like the Grateful Dead channel, because just below Grateful Dead is E Street Radio for Bruce Springsteen, and just above is these other things.
Well, I think they do that. All the sports stations are together. It's just like, it's just
there's
like
no
cable.
This
Howard and all the comedy stuff is next door to each other, though. No, that's true. At least, I mean, on my car where I've got a
set. Unless I'm leaning over and rolling the dial continuously.
I'm not sure I want to be surfing and I'll crash into something. But like I said, I've become enamored enough with it that I will seriously, I know, I'll put it this way, if I don't re-up, I will miss it for a little while. And it's interesting, like, I, you know, you said that you got out of it because of your other
devices. Well, the podcast was a bit, I mean, the music was part, but then the podcasts were part where, like, I was like, well, I can actually pick what I want to listen to, and it's more compressed, it's an hour, and I can get through all of it, versus just kind of tuning into a show, like, if there was Howard or the Sports Junkies or something, if it was just regular radio, just kind of tired of that. But now the flip side is, there's now a number of podcasts where I'm like, you're doing the same thing over and over, guys. You know, like it's comical to say this, right? Because we do this all the time, but we're out every 2 weeks. But like these ones that come out like twice a week or something like that. And like the Stuff You Should Know podcast was very interesting originally. I think they've run out of topic. I think sometimes we're better off because we have no agenda, and so we come back to something, we go off, and we do something else. But if you're like, my podcast is about explaining things from history, or Stuff You Should Know is more like, it's all different things. But it's an explanation of some topic. Well, there's only so many topics out there that people care about.
That's right.
So you get to a certain point, and now they're doing like Stuff You Should Know about, I don't know, hot air balloons, or something like that, where it's like, there's no chance I need to listen an hour and a half of something. And plus, because of the fact that they're doing those, you don't actually even know that much. Like, they've done research like we do.
Yeah.
I mean, they obviously have some more people doing it, but half the topics they'll do, I'd be like, I know more about this stuff than you guys do. I'm not going to listen to you too. You talk about this thing. And
I'm very selective about, as a podcaster, I'm actually quite selective about other podcasts.
Yeah.
I am. And so, I guess, as we get to the end of the show, I do want to say this now. And again, this is aimed at you, CSI Dan. I've been taking shots at you all show, but you're getting a mug. Nice. No, he's getting a mug. I understand that you're upset that there's only one show every 2 weeks, but
setting up a straw man, CSI. No, this is actually the person you're talking about is actually CSI Bob.
Sorry, CSI Bob.
In other words, you've set up a fake version of CSI Dan in which you say, I understand that you're upset, because I don't really think anybody was upset, but we'll just call that it's CSI Dan's alter ego is CSI Bob, fictionalized version of CSI Dan.
We have so many hours of shows available different sources that you could actually do your own Howard Stern like channel where you just play and dive
in. Have you checked? Can you still get those easily? Because I know it was like,
people are constantly downloading. I'm shocked.
They've gone into the stats. If you use a podcast app, you might have to go to Libsyn to get the stuff.
Or Facebook.
Yeah.
And I think, but if you use a pod, iTunes, I get confused. You can use...
Or the blog.
Or the blog, but you can... People are constantly...
AtlanticVoice.net, for instance.
Yeah, people are constantly downloading the old stuff. And I think what it is every app is different. I think it's always there unless you choose to delete it. I don't know. But someone's always...
Mine, the one I use, Pocket Cast, is an Android app for that stuff. You basically go down to the bottom and you say, see more, and it'll keep scrolling back to things. The big thing is the hosting location. I think they kind of change after a certain amount of time how it's hosted, but it's still always available. It's still there, it's not...
Yeah.
It's
Yeah, we're out there. You don't need to... We're not going to screw you over like on satellite.
Until the North Koreans send a missile over here, it'll be safely in the Libsyn servers.
I think that's it for the show, yes?
I think so.
This has been The Atlantic Voice. I'm Zeph.
I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on The Atlantic Voice podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now, on YouTube, search for The Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.